Are you scatting in the background?
I was doing a little bit of the jazz thing. I just had, you know, the theme is we played jazz last night. You know?
Really?
Yeah, we're off. The Penatella show is off this week. This is a big vacation for me. So my nephew is in town with his wife, and he plays drums. So right. Last night Jonesy came over, and we were playing jazz. My sister was sitting in there holding my daughter, and we were playing jazz. And it's kind of like somebody's view of Utopia, maybe my view of Utopia.
It'll be yours. It's your home. You built all of it.
I really loved it. I was playing. So I got the jazz boogie in my butt.
It's in you.
It's in me. I'm feeling very, very jazzy today. This is, did I say it was Pendulette?
No.
I think, okay, this is Pendulette. I guess I'm called the big guy from Penn & Teller. And Michael Goudeau, the average-sized guy from the Lance Burton Show. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
And it is morning here in Las Vegas, although it's afternoon in New York and Chicago and other places further east. But here it's still morning. And for someone in show business, it's middle of the night, really.
In Japan, they say good morning on showbiz all day. You show up at 7 o'clock at night, they say good morning.
In showbiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be. I think that's right. I mean, that's something the Japanese get right. I haven't been to Japan. I was in their airport.
I
bought some. Yeah, they do cars well.
Yeah.
It was like in the 1980s that we learned to make cars, right?
Yeah.
Didn't cars always break before 1986?
Mine sure did.
Or is it just that I got richer? Is that what happened? You
know, I put a new engine in every 30,000 miles. I had a Volkswagen, and every 30,000 miles, I put a new engine in it.
Because you were wrecking it?
It just quit working. Burned up every time.
Could it be
me.
Do you not shift properly?
As far as I know, I do.
30,000 is supposed to go longer than that.
Well,
but then in the 80s, everybody learned to make cars, and cars just started working.
It was great.
But I was never sure if it was technology that happened, or I just got enough money to buy something that wasn't
a little of each.
A little of each. But the Japanese are good at saying good morning and good at cars and probably a lot of other things. There's no Japanese patching going on here. 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, if you need that in numerals, it's 3733. And if you want to write us Gmail, we're getting Gmails. They're going nuts with the Gmails.
We're going
Penradio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, @gmail.com. And there's also penradio.com, where eventually there's going to be podcasts, and eventually there's going to be there's cameras here in the room. I'm looking into a camera now, but right now nobody's seeing it. It's very, very.
I am. I can look at you or a monitor picture of you.
It's very, very epistemological. You know, if how do we get knowledge? If that camera is shooting me and Helen Keller's dead, am I really? Do I really have an image at all? There was a really cute story that that Audrey, you know, Audrey runs our. The Penn & Teller fan site, which is penn-teller.com. She runs everything there. Mm-hmm. She puts the pictures up. She puts everything up.
Yes, she does.
And somebody wrote in a story that they were at their son or daughter's high school graduation, and they had their younger child with them, and the commencement speaker, or maybe it was the valedictorian or whatever, was giving their speech, and they were going to quote Helen Keller. And they said, you know, as Helen Keller said, and the kid who was in the audience with his mother turned to his mother and said, "Why are they quoting them?"
Okay. Helen Keller.
Helen Teller. Helen Teller. And, you know, if Teller had been a girl, missed it by that much. If Teller had been a girl, they were going to name him Helen. So you'd be Helen Teller. And it wasn't for the Helen Keller joke. It was because his father wanted people to be able to say, "Go to Helen Teller." So that was Teller's father was a very, very funny man. Very funny man. Great guy with the pancakes and abstract pancakes. Joe Teller. And I have a couple paintings. You know, Joe Teller was a great, great painter. Really good. Yeah, we got some in the backstage room that we look at. And Teller's house is lousy with them. Of course, it would be. It's his father, and his mother was also a painter, Irene.
Uh-huh.
And Irene Teller cooked the largest meals I I mean, Stephen Banks, who is Billy the Mime in the Aristocrats movie, but also is a big SpongeBob
guy. Head writer of SpongeBob.
He's head writer. Is he head writer?
I believe he's head writer for SpongeBob.
Wow. Stephen Banks and I once made the mistake of, like, stopping at McDonald's on the way to Teller's parents' house, and they were going to feed us dinner. And his mother, when I was over there, this might not have been every night, but when I was over there, she never served a meal that didn't have three meats. Like you'd have turkey, ham, and pork. You know, that right. was it. And then the side dishes, they were like, and I don't want to exaggerate because then it's less funny, but I believe there'd be like six side dishes. You know, spinach and broccoli and potatoes, and that's three. But there were three others. and three entrees, and like then like two different desserts, like two different pies or a pie and a cake. And she'd watch you. She wouldn't eat much herself. She would just watch you eat. And my mother cooked fabulous meals, and we ate a lot, but not like the Teller's. I mean, it's really surprising that Teller isn't fat enough that he could be cute falling down an escalator. It's really funny that he couldn't be. We're not really like to do the news because we're in the middle of the day. And stuff. Right. But it's a creepy day in the news.
It's death day.
You know, in Oregon, is it Oregon?
Oregon. I say Oregon.
Okay, because it's Nevada, and you have to say Nevada because we had a press conference here the first day, and I said Nevada.
You're out.
Wow. And the first question, excuse me, Mr. Gillette, it's Nevada. So I say Nevada now, but I don't know what Oregon is. Oregon. Anyway, Oregon can now kill people.
Well,
actually, for mispronouncing the name of their state. there's that little girl that's on life support in Massachusetts, and they rule that they can pull the plug on her, but first you have to fly her to Oregon. They're going to start
an extension cord that long.
Death tourism. Oregon will be doing death tourism.
Wow.
And the Supreme Court backed them, but it's one of those Supreme Court things that is so unsatisfying. Like when Newdow took the God We Trust, not in God We Trust, that's the next case. I'm seeing into the future, but Nation Under God and the Pledge. He took that to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court, you could just see them getting all giddy under their robes that that they could get rid of it on a technicality.
Giddy under the robes. That's a lovely term. I'm going to write that down. Hold on. Giddy under the robes.
They were very happy because they didn't want to have to say, oh, by the way, there's a separation of church and state. We've been ignoring it for 50 years. So what they did was they said that he didn't have custody of his child. So it couldn't possibly offend him.
That's how you get to be in the Supreme Court.
Weasel.
Weasel.
It's
exactly.
Supreme Weasel. Supreme Weasel. And that's why the confirmation hearings are so good, because if you can't weasel your way through a bunch of drunken, retarded senators, then you certainly haven't got a chance of weaseling your way through the law. Because the Constitution is written very clearly.
Right.
You know, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to freely assemble and petition a government with the government with the redress of their grievances.
It's like you have that memorized.
I do have it memorized. It's very clear. Congress shall make no law.
You would think that would be clear.
And then Congress makes laws like crazy. So if you want to be in the Supreme Court, you've got to be a weasel. So the way they weaseled the Oregon thing was they said that Ashcroft, who everybody knows, was a whack job. Probably still is a whack job. Although a good singer. That little song poem thing he did, very groovy.
As good as Shatner?
About America.
Is he as good as Shatner?
It's different. You know, I love the song poem stuff. And maybe someday, I don't know, I have to talk to Free FM and see if, you know, they're cool with me playing music. Because if they are, I'll play nut music that's never been played on the radio. Song poems are, you know, people that send in, like, the back of National Enquirer.
Right.
They send in their lyrics. And
send
then someone
lyrics,
puts them to
music. Here. Sure.
And I have a collection of those. I have thousands of those songs. And the Ashcroft thing was very much like that. So the Supreme Court, you know, slid around it and said it was okay to you know, the federal government couldn't stop them from distributing those drugs. But they haven't dealt with the issue of, is it okay for a state to say, woo, we're the snuff state. Come turn, you know, bring granny to Oregon for her last big fling. You know, they could do that. And also there's the old prisoner they killed, which I don't know what the difference
Clarence
is.
Clarence Ray Allen, 76-year-old. Sorry, long night. 76-year-old inmate for ordering three killings while behind bars 25 years ago, scheduling
and they thought there was there was a different thing with the killing him than there was with killing someone younger. See, in Vegas, we have that solved, because if someone was was that old in prison, they would just use eminent domain, declare him an old building, and blow him up for a shiny new prisoner with lights all over him.
Put a new prisoner in his place.
There's nothing in Vegas that's 75 years old. There's no building. What they do probably... If a great, you know, if Camus was alive or something, the whole novel would be...
Shamu.
Camus, sorry. The killer existentialist.
I saw his show. Man, he's jumper.
Free Albert. Free Albert. They would have, you know, they blow up a building in Vegas.
Yeah.
Huge event. They blow up buildings all the time. And then they put a big video sign in front of the new place that shows video of the old place being blown up. Which is so boss and so real and so dead on, you know. Because you used to be able to come to Vegas. When they first told me this, I thought it was jive. But it's true. In the 50s, you would come to Vegas and you could stay up all night listening to, like, Louis Prima in the lounge. Louis Prima, who's not given near enough credit for, like, helping invent rock and roll. Chuck Berry certainly did it. But, you know, Little Richard certainly did it. But, you know, Louis Prima helped. And you'd watch him all night before. Then they had breakfasts. Where you could, like, finish in the lounge, go in for a breakfast, and look out over the desert and see them explode H-bombs.
Well, that's back when they had windows in casinos. Windows now.
Well, this is
you can't even see the sun come up.
Look, the sun is just a big nuclear reactor.
Exactly.
And you could look out there and see a mushroom cloud while you were having your mushroom omelet. You know? And they would have big, you know, atomic eye-openers, and they have some sort of drink they gave you with it.
And like the hurricane, they've decided it was a bad idea.
Bad idea.
Let's name it something else, okay?
Yeah, that's really the one drinks there. But they would have, like, you know, the atomic eye opener and stuff, and you'd spend a night watching Louis Prima and then see an atomic bomb blow up.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool. And, of course, everybody's all creeped out by the atomic bomb. But back then, it was really cool. Back then, you could dig it.
What are we doing now that's like that? There must be something, right?
Yeah, well, I went with a friend of mine, Tim Jennison, who invented the video toaster. He runs New Tech.
Right.
He wanted to buy... I don't know how... This is probably... What we did was probably illegal.
Let's just blurt it out on the radio.
He wanted to buy a Titan missile base.
Yeah.
You know, these underground.
Right.
So there was one somewhere in the country. Can I just say that? Is that safer? And he wanted to buy it, so we broke into it. It had all these chains and stuff. And we brought a geologist, because whenever you're going on a dangerous mission, you have to bring a geologist, because he'll be the first one to die.
Yeah.
Journey to the Center of the Earth, most Star Trek episodes, geologist dies. Geologists are plot meat. You just kill them. So we brought a geologist.
They're the canary.
And they didn't know what good I was, because they had a geologist and several scientists, and they were going to go into the... I mean, an underground Titan missile base is like an entire shopping mall, bigger. These huge places.
Uh-huh.
And there was, of course, no electricity, and there could be dangerous gases, and there were big drop-offs.
Of course, yeah.
And you could die very easily. So they brought me along. Yeah.
Are you sure the geologist was scheduled to die?
None of us died, but we got very depressed, because you're down there and there's no temperature change, no wind, no nothing. People used to live down there with their finger on the button to destroy the world. Cool.
And they're depressed because it's dark and a little chilly.
Very cool. And what they
smells
did
like
to
methane.
Me was they made me a canary.
Yeah.
It wasn't a sort of a horrible experiment like the fly. help me. But they had all these things hanging around my neck that detected dangerous gases.
If you stopped beeping, they would run from you.
They said that if I started beeping, my job was to yell and to pick up which thing was beeping and yell what dangerous gas was going to kill us, and then we'd run out of there.
That's a great setup for a gag. Yes. I can't believe they didn't just scam you in some funny way.
But it was a nutty thing. We spent the whole day. We had to go down, you know, it's right. I don't know how far underground it is, but it's like... You know, 15 flights of stairs, those long metal military scary stairs.
Tim didn't buy it?
He didn't, because the environmental protection, all that stuff, says that if you're responsible, even if you're cleaning it up instead of doing
right.
it. So there was legal reasons to not buy it. But my feet were hurting, and they were walking a long way. So I decided to stay in one place. I had to conserve battery power. So I was sitting in this room, like the size of four gymnasiums, right, in a chair. There was a chair there. And all the rest of my party, woohoo, like five people walked away, and I was supposed to conserve battery power. So I turned the flashlight off, and I sat for 20 minutes where you could not see your hand even a half an inch in front of your face.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nothing. And there was no sound. I mean, not the sound of like little rippling. And there were no air currents and no changes in temperatures, and just sitting there in the dark. And, man, do you feel ennui. You just kind of feel like you're like empty. And then when I heard my friends coming back to me, you know, which is,
yeah.
And it was so far away that I could actually see like that little like movie stuff, like a little bit of light, and then slowly hear their voices laughing and having fun. It was like I was being delivered from this, you know, from this horrible emptiness. It was just, it was really creepy. And it was really fun to be down there. And we also saw the button.
Creepy and fun are the same, right?
Exactly. The okay. Same. Speaking of which, the woman in France with the face transplant.
Oh, yeah.
Now this bugs me because the face transplant is just like totally cool.
Yeah.
It's just a great thing.
I don't understand the fuss on this at all.
Yeah. But
not even a little.
Well, the thing was she went out during the day for her first day out in front of people.
That's great.
And she was accompanied by Rod Serling. So that added a lot to the creep. And she had a little jazz combo.
Everyone said, hi, Ralph.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if you will.
I was just gonna, spooky.
Yeah. Smoking six packs a day, you know, whatever you did. Rod Serling Rod Serling and Walt Disney were like wacko chain smokers. And I think like they were like Pall Mall or something. I mean, real coffin nails, cancer sticks. Of course, you didn't know smoking was dangerous back then.
Again,
that's that whole anti-smoking thing. You know, big corporations were keeping from us that smoking was dangerous. My dad knew smoke. My dad called cigarettes coffin nails, you know, in 1960, you know, and I'm sure they knew that all the way back. I'm sure that Sir Walter Raleigh said we really shouldn't be smoking here as he pulled the filters off. You know,
sure.
So he was the kind of guy that rip a filter off and then put it in his mouth. Everybody knew smoking was dead. But anyway, so Rod Serling, who I think is one of the great writers. I mean, I love his short stories. And he wrote Planet of the Apes.
Really? I didn't know.
He wrote Planet of the Apes. And the original one, not
right.
Not that one that came out. Oh, man, was that
brutal.
The
Marky Mark version?
Oh, is that, wasn't it?
Marky, I don't know. I don't know anything.
Oh, man. I mean, boy, did that blow. Like, just unbelievable. But the original,
first one, wow.
And I saw when it came out.
Yeah, sure, as kids.
And I didn't know the gag on it. I did not know the gag on it, you know? So I really thought it was Planet of the Apes. I just thought this was a different planet. And when they, and I'm sorry to ruin this for you people. When he sees, you know.
It came out a while ago. I think a lot of people know what happened.
Okay, good, good. And there's the Statue of Liberty. And for me as a kid, what was I, like eight or something?
Yeah.
I mean, my heart just went to pieces. That was just the most beautifully written thing. And the misdirection on this. If you want to study magic, Planet of the Apes is the thing to study because it uses the knowledge of reality to screw you in the end. Because when they first land on the planet, everybody says to themselves, oh, I wonder where they shot that. Is that like Oregon? Or is that like, you know, Utah or something? And then you say, oh, they're just shooting it there because it's a cheesy movie and they didn't have the budget to put it. And so you accept the fact, you buy into the make-believe so deeply that when it actually ends up being Earth, it's a huge surprise. So you fool yourself. It's the same thing as Kevin Spacey in Usual Suspects.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's limping like that and you go, oh, Kevin Spacey decided not to use a prosthetic but really do it. So you buy into that, bang, hits you at the end. There's an advanced class and magic that could just be taught based on Planet of the Apes and Usual Suspects. But I will never teach that class because I've got a radio show here on Free FM. My name is Ben Gillette, sitting with Michael Goudeau, and today we're actually talking about stuff that matters, like face transplants and death penalties and Oregon, the snuff state. Talking about metal license plates. Is like a metronome. I'm just rock solid. We had a monster drummer on that session.
Who was the drummer?
I forgot his name. But he was really good. Just he was so good that when I...
Did he play bass as well?
No, I played bass. When I screwed up a bass thing, you know, the drummer was able to come in, like, just say that same tempo, and was able to cut together and just do that. He's Real good drummers can do that. They know where the tempo is. You got a Gmail, right?
I have a really good one.
From a guy whose SIG file is...
Bob the Skeptical Christian.
Bob the Skeptical Christian. And I don't know if that
Bob
means...
Bob writes a lot, actually.
Good. Oh, I like that. I'm getting to like Bob. We haven't read any of your Gmails on the air, Bob, but we've been reading them by ourselves. Remember, you said he has a good one.
He does. He says, your experience down in the Titan missile silo gave you an inkling of what it's like under the Supreme Court justice's robes. All dark and giddy.
And I bet under those robes, it's there's ennui too. I bet they have those robes to cover their big honking ennui hanging down there. Don't you
really?
Think?
I don't know.
A lot of ennui.
I'm not sure.
I would think so. I would think there's a certain kind of, because when you're in the Supreme Court, you've reached the pinnacle of your success.
Of ennui.
I mean, you're
the ennui king.
You're Bob Dylan, right?
Yeah, sure.
Once you reach the Supreme Court, you're Bob Dylan.
And you get the job as long as you want it. That's the job I'm shooting for.
It's not like being the president. You know, the president, you just, you know, boom, you're forgotten, you know? And, I mean, who was before Clinton? Do you remember?
No. Not honest. Well, give me a minute. I'll search it on Google.
And, you know, there may be another Clinton. There's this big thing in the New York Times. That, you know, big surprise. You know, New York Times has the breaking news.
Unbelievable.
Hillary Clinton seems like she might be thinking about being president. There was a Gmail about circumcision we got days ago, right?
There is, yeah.
We have stacks and stacks of Gmails.
we're so far behind.
Yeah, but we're going to get through them. Read that one, because I said on the air, we did a whole show on Showtime, one of the BS shows on circumcision and how awful it was. And we are having our son will be born in June. If everything goes well. And his name will be Zoltan. And we don't want to have him circumcised,
right?
Because we are, I don't know if this has been covered on the show, wife and I, not religious.
I think you mentioned it.
I covered that. Not because we lack faith. It's not because we're cynical. It's because there's no God.
Okay.
That's the new reason we've discovered for atheism. It's not a political move. We're not socialists. You know, that's the thing. Atheism got bad raps because of the socialists and communists,
right,
who are worse than religious people. But the atheists were doing really well at the end of the 19th century, and now I'm hoping it'll get back up in the 21st.
Jump back up.
20th century was a bad, bad time for atheists. But anyway, we don't want our son circumcised, so we got this Gmail.
Yeah, this guy's offering free to expecting parents baby blue waterproof polyester ankle bracelets printed with the words, do not circumcise or retract. Put one on your infant at birth and keep a spare in case the first is removed during care.
Wow. There you go. It goes around their ankle?
It goes around something.
But that's the wrong place to put it. when the moil comes in, he's not doing an ankle check. That's not his first. When he comes in for this, you know, religious scarring of a human being, he doesn't come in and go, let's check out the ankle first.
Should be like surgery. Maybe you should do it with a felt pen.
Just for a moment. Just for a split second.
Oh, right.
I considered doing a Jewish accent for the moil.
No, please, no. If it's not Yosemite Sam, don't do it.
Oh, I can do Yosemite Sam. So this is a baby blue
TLCTugger.com. That's what it's called, baby blue ankle bracelet that says do not circumcise or retract.
TLC Tugger?
TLC Tugger, TUGGER.com. And it's free.
Two-thirds
of the way down the page, apparently, he says. Free to anybody.
Free to anybody. Not free if you happen to have a radio show, but free to anybody.
Exactly.
So this business plan is a very, very good one.
I don't know what else he's selling. Must be something.
Must have ads on there or something.
But
it also could be that he just cares very much about leaving the human anatomy intact.
That could be.
And I think that's a good idea. I mean, if you are having a...
He's a Higley Down hero.
If you are having a son... to be born soon. Really consider looking deeply into circumcision as opposed to...
You save $400 right off the top. If nothing else, you'll save $400. You could spend
right off the top, and you get to save the top. It's all there. And there's all these arguments for circumcision that are so creepy. First is the religious ones.
Right.
And
that's
I guess if you're a believer, you know, if you're a believer, and you know, in Islam, they circumcise boys at the age of 12, 13, or 14.
Oh, boy.
They do.
That's got to be a lot of fun later on.
Yeah.
We do babies because they can't fight, really.
Yeah. And in Islam, I guess, which is trying to be the real fighter of the Abrahamic religions, trying to be the tough guys. And it's hard. You know, when you're dealing with Christians, Jews, and Muslims, those three, those are the fighters of world religion. I mean, they would kick the ass of the Jains. The Buddhists are going down. Those are the tough ones. Those are the fighting, you know.
Aren't the Tamil Tigers Buddhists?
Yeah.
I think they're fighting.
Okay.
There's some Buddhists are fighting.
Okay, but yeah, you're right. You're right. Tibet and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
They lost, though, didn't they?
Well, they are still occupied, so.
But they circumcise, I think maybe I'm wrong about this, but the little bit that I've read says that the Muslims, maybe not all Muslims, maybe just certain Muslims, circumcise in the tweens. they probably don't use the term. There's probably something.
The tweenies.
In the Quran. That says you can't say, you know, tweenies, weenies, or something like that. You're not allowed. There's probably
something. It's not in English. Might not rhyme.
I would imagine that Muhammad.
In other languages.
I would imagine that Muhammad, on his ascension to heaven, probably his last thing he said was, no jokes about tweenie, weenie. No jokes about cutting the tweenie, weenie. But that's when they do it, I think, at the age of 12.
Well, we have emailed about this already. It says, okay. Get your kids circumcised, you idiot.
Okay.
What is it? Out when he's trying to get laid.
Huh? Well, and that's from a man or a woman.
Tom.
Well, that is the point of view. There's that point of hygiene that somehow the penis will be dirtier if it's not circumcised. But in the shower doesn't seem
a hard sell.
Doesn't seem like you're running into the wind there. There's not a tsunami of natural instinct stopping that. I think you could do that. I think you could get your kid to do it. And also, if it's not a good idea, you can always do it later. You can always go over. You can always go over to Jihad Land and have it done at 12 or 13. You know, with a happy meal for the tween. But everything, all the research we did, besides you idiot from Tom, all the research that we did said that there's no medical reason for it. There's no hygiene reason for it.
Right.
And it goes back and forth on the STDs, whether it's safer to be circumcised or not circumcised. But the STDs we have now will be different than we'll have when your child is sexually active in 8 years. Yeah. Or whenever. When do you plan to have your...
When do I plan to have my child sexually active?
I guess you have no
say. Are you sending me to jail by that question?
I mean, but you don't.
And that'll be his or her choice.
Of course.
My kids will make that decision. I probably won't be involved.
Right.
I imagine they won't even consult with me.
Won't even be invited.
Probably not.
Probably won't even send out little cards. But, okay, I'm not going to say don't get your kids circumcised. We're not going to get our kids unless there's more information. If there is more information on this, let us know. And if you want this little blue thing to put around your baby boy's ankle.
Yes.
Which I still think is the wrong place to put it.
TLCTugger.com.
TLCTugger.com. And for that circumcision. The circumcision show was one of the big freakout shows.
And we're up for an award for it, I believe.
Yeah, I think Star is.
Writer's
Star
Guild.
Price is. Is it Writer's Guild?
Writer's
I thought
Guild.
Star Price
no,
is up for the Director's Guild.
Star is, and we're up for the writing.
Yeah, well. And that show, we didn't show a lot of the really bothersome stuff.
Unfortunately, we had to watch a lot
we
of
watched
really
some
stuff.
And it was some pretty heavy stuff in that show. And doctors that I've talked to, our pediatrician, said that he's going to start showing that show to patients.
Oh, that's
because,
a good idea.
Because he thinks it's something that should be thought about more. Whatever you do with circumcision, I don't think you should do it automatically. I don't think you should just say, well, this is what people do.
You think we ought to actually discuss it amongst ourselves, really?
I think the parents should discuss it and also get medical advice.
Right.
I think so. And, you know, and the other thing is, some people say, maybe Tom's one of them, he kind of says this, that, you know, you should do it because everyone else is, you know, because you don't want to look different in the showers.
Right.
And I've also heard arguments that you should do it because, I don't know why that's important. I mean, it seems like the amount of time is probably not going to be a lot, right?
Your son's not born yet, is he?
It's a lot of time.
A lot of time. I mean, European in the same place.
Yeah, sure. I guess you would. I guess so. He's going to look over and see himself as being different and not feel good about it. Would he feel bad about that, you think?
No, my son doesn't know. No.
Okay. So
he's not concerned.
Okay. And
hey, you know, somebody wrote in that the Tamil Tigers are Hindu, not Buddhists.
Okay. Sorry. But still, Hindus, not one of the big death-dealing religions, are they?
I think they're known for being peaceful.
Yeah, fairly peaceful. And the Muslims, a lot of stuff becomes clear about the Muslim religion when you realize they circumcise their children at the age of 12 or 13. If that's true.
That would make me angry.
Wow.
For many years.
It's some sort of rite of passage or something. And obviously, you know, we're kidding. That's not what makes the Muslims mean. No people are meaner than other people. There's no sort of thing there. But that is a weird thing to have in your religion. But no weirder, I think, than circumcising at birth to torture little babies seems weird. And, of course, we didn't know any better. Anyone, you know, until like 2 years ago, it was, you know, this information wasn't out there. If you were circumcised, you know, more than 2 years ago, it probably was a good idea. But please look into it. We're doing a public service here. This is Penn Jillette talking about the tweeny weenies here on Free FM. Free FM means you can talk about tweeny weenies, I think. Isn't that what it means?
I'm not sure what it means.
We're going to be back. We're thinking of other stuff to say. The magic boy today is circumcised. people have been writing in talking about that. I just said earlier, we were not going to have my son circumcised unless there's other information that comes in. We're looking into it. But certainly all the work we did on Panatelli's BS says no. Matt is on the line and wants to talk about circumcision. He's on line six. You going to come on, Matt? You there?
Yes. What's going on?
How you doing, boss?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah. You know, talk to me.
Yeah, well, I had a son last March, and, you know, the doctors rushed us on a decision to make the circumcision, and my family all, you know, said, oh, it's best to do it because when you're in the shower and he sees it, he's going to look different, he's going to ask why, and it's going to be difficult to maintain and clean. And then, you know, 10 months down the line, I realized it's not that difficult to, you know, maintain your child to begin with. You know, you just got to love him and keep him clean and feed him. You know, and now, you know, I hear about this nerve ending thing and how, you know, everything's going to be different. You know, just,
It's a drag. But, you know, my daughter is 7 months old, and I think you're going to make mistakes that you regret all the time. You have two kids, right?
Yeah.
And we're all doing stuff wrong all the time. And all I'm saying is, you know, maybe this call will help people think about it a little more. That's a lot. But certainly don't kick yourself, Matt. You sound like a great father.
Yeah, 50% of the people are still doing it. So, yeah.
He won't be alone in the showers. Thanks a lot, man.
You guys are great, man. You guys are great.
Thank you so much, Matt. Boss. Thank you, boss. Let's go to Adam on line 10, who I think has information. I didn't want to stay with Matt because I just didn't want to bum him out. I mean, I'm sure he's a great father. He's doing the great things.
If he's worrying about it, he's already a good dad. Right. You know what I mean? There's a lot of dads. Yeah, whatever.
Are you there? Are you there, Adam?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Doing very well, man. What's up?
I was just calling in. I just wanted to shed some light on the info that you guys were talking about, Islam and circumcision.
Okay.
It's a small sect that actually circumcised their boys at like 12, 13, 14 years old. And you're right, it is a kind of like a milestone in their life. But it's a small sect of the Sunnis, and it's mostly, you know, those in Africa. With the other sects, like the big ones, the Shias and the other Sunnis in the Middle East, they tend to do it at childbirth.
Uh-huh.
The ones that do it in Africa, those are the same people that also circumcise their women. So they're kind of like the fundamental.
Oh, those are tied together?
Sorry?
The circumcision of women and the circumcision of tweens is tied together?
Well, I mean, the fundamentalists in, like, you know, the sect in, like, Africa and such, the ones that, you know, circumcise their boys, at, you know, at adolescence, mm-hmm. the same ones that circumcise their women. So that's just, like, their mindset. That's their interpretation.
How do you know all this? What gets you into that?
Well, because I'm Muslim, too.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, and this is just as much as I've known over the years that I've, you know, read about and such.
Okay. Sure. Well, thanks so much. Adam.
I hate to beg, but is it possible I can get a DVD that you guys are giving out?
You got it. You're going to get a DVD of the Aristocrats. And
stay on the line and give the other guys
so
your
Matt.
Address.
Give the guys who are talking to you the address, and we'll send it to you. Thanks so much. And that was just, that is so awful. That's like when someone's over your house visiting, and they're visiting for like 45 minutes and telling you great stories, and you're laughing, and they go, could I have a drink of water? It's like that. And you go, oh, man, go to the refrigerator. Have yourself a caffeine-free Diet Cola beverage. Have whatever you want, man. He shouldn't have to ask. He calls up and gives us real information.
He has to ask. We're out of DVDs, man.
I know we're out of.
You are buying a DVD, just so you know.
We didn't ever. You know, those guys come on the air. We got to be back. We're writing this. Godot and I both write the along with Teller and John Hotchkiss and Star Price. Yeah. We write the Penn and Teller BS show. And the one we're doing is on the death penalty. And Godot put this joke in, and I can't find. You know, usually anybody that's on the radio, you just say, why don't they find out that information on the web? Like, it was wonderful that Adam called in, but right. We could have known the sect, and we could have pictures of the circumcisions being done right. You know, on the web. But this I couldn't find. Now, when I was a kid, Godot wrote this joke into the death penalty show.
I didn't write the joke. I added it into the show. Well,
the joke that you added in was the joke about the joke. It was a meta joke.
Joke about the joke.
He said that crucifixion may not have been the first form of execution, but it was the birth of the Peter, I can see your house from here joke.
It's the first execution joke.
First execution joke. Okay, fine. But I read this, and I think that the punchline, Peter, I can see your house from here, is wrong. And the joke is that, you know, Christ is up on a cross, and he goes, Peter. And Peter, you know, gets through the Roman soldiers and goes up to the cross, and Jesus says, Peter, I can see your house from here. Okay. I don't think that's the joke. I really don't. And when I was a kid, there was this joke, how do you get down from an elephant? You don't get down from an elephant, you get down from a duck. When I first heard that joke, I thought it was this absurdist piece of theater. Like, you know, you don't get down from a joke. And I picture people sitting on a duck and then getting off. So, and then I think it wasn't until I was like 20 that I realized that it was down. Yeah. And I think that when that joke was written, right. You know, you don't that get down from an elephant. Duck down was a duck down. Good note. Watch it. They're shooting at you. Duck down. Duck down was a
ball player. He was a ball player back then.
I would like anybody.
Played with Sandy Koufax.
anybody that when I said duck down, actually duck down at their desk or they're listening to this, I would love it if you'd write a G-bill. They'd be so happy to know that somebody at the desk somewhere, when I said duck down.
Just actually really, did, yeah.
Yeah, I like okay. that. But I think it was a more common thing, you know, before all the synthetic fibers and so on. So that you got that joke. But it seemed to me absurdist and still very funny. Now, I believe that the joke, Peter, I can see your house from here, I think it should be Peter, I can see your house from up here.
Right.
It should be 10 words. Peter, I can see your house from up here. Because I believe the setup for the joke. Now, I always thought that joke, which is a wonderful joke and is a really part of our culture, and a good, you know, Christ joke, it's a good Jesus joke, I thought that that was a little bit absurdist and a little bit random. And then somebody told it to me or referenced it in an email or something as what were Jesus' last 10 words on the cross.
Okay, and what were they?
Forgive. Well, there were none because there was no Jesus. But forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
That's
forgive
10. Sure.
them, Father, for they know not what they do.
10.
So you say, what were the final 10 words that Jesus said on the cross before, if you're a believer, ascending into heaven, or if you're an atheist in the myth? And then the punchline is, Peter, I can see your house from up here. If you get the word up, it's 9 words.
It's a little stilted the way you're reading it. I don't know.
We would go, what is this last? And then the person goes, ha, 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 because I thought it was Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. But of course it would be, Peter, I can see your house from up here. And you need the double Peter.
Well, then you'll get to 10.
Which ties in with our circumcision conversation, the double Peter.
Nicely done.
I don't know. I wish someone would write in, and someone that knows. I mean, I guess I should talk to Jackie Martling.
We should find out who wrote the joke.
Because Jackie, the joke man, knows every joke. But I've asked him about 2 or 3 other jokes in the past that I kind of half remembered and wanted to get exactly right, and he didn't know those. There's one about I'll have pie, about the jawbone of an ass, another biblical joke that ends with, you know, you tell this biblical story and the drunk gets it wrong and then ends with the job but with his ass I'll have pie. But I don't remember the rest of the joke. But I think the proper joke is, what were Jesus' 10 last words on the cross? Peter, Peter, I can see your house from up here. Jerry, we haven't got time, Jerry, but let's take Jerry on line 6, who says that our last caller was wrong about the Muslims. Lay it on us, Jerry, fast, because we're almost getting done with the section.
I love your show. You guys are great.
Thanks so much, man.
My parents are Christian missionaries in Muslim countries. They have been for the last 20 years or so. I was, you know, with them while I was a child for 10 years in Pakistan and Turkey. The circumcision thing at the age of 13 is more like, it's their equivalent to the Jewish bar mitzvah, where it's a whole ceremony. People give them gold coins and money, and they get dressed in these whole outfits. It's not a bizarre sect. It's their option. They can do it at birth, and some choose to, and some choose to have the ceremony as a coming of age thing when they're older.
So it's not just
it's
Africa.
It's based on the difference in the Quran between the story of Abraham's sons, Isaac and Jacob. I'm sorry, Isaac and Ishmael.
Because, you can call me Ishmael if you like.
Right, because Isaac was circumcised at 8. And Ishmael was, you know, when he was 13, was when Abraham had his revelation.
So it doesn't vary from individual to individual, but rather from country to country or area to area, or is it an individual choice?
As far as I know, I mean, I didn't really know it like this.
If you're the son of Christian missionaries, you don't want to appear too interested in Muslim circumcisions.
Exactly.
That'd probably be a bad move for you. Just politically in the family, that's a bad move to go, Mom, Dad, tell me more about Muslim penises. Please, 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 I want to know more. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Jerry. And I'm cutting Jerry off a little bit more than I should, because we're coming toward the end of this hunk. And I don't know. I mean, I searched on the web before I went off. I didn't go off completely half-cocked. Because when you're against circumcision, you should at best go off, you know, 7/8 cocked.
Okay. That is a place to
fall. Yes.
Jerry's doing jokes.
I did some research, and it does seem like some of the web pages that seem to be, like encyclopedia web pages and so on, seem to be contradictory. They seem to fall between Adam and Jerry, the two sons of
Adam and Jerry,
who had a difference of opinion as to where that is. Maybe it is also Turkey. I mean, this guy seems to know
Arabs,
stuff.
Turkish, Malaysian, and others of this faith is what I have on the web here.
So it's kind of all over the place, but not mandatory.
Not mandatory.
And the other thing that's odd is that
just for fun, apparently.
But in the U.S., it deviates somewhat from Christianity and Judaism and Islam, in that it became this big health thing in the U.S.
It was Kellogg.
Kellogg and Graham.
Yeah.
Kellogg and Graham.
Just in snacks.
Yeah. They
got together.
For crackers and eat fewer breakfast cereals.
I'm not sure that was it, but perhaps.
Very close to that. And what they were trying to do was to cut down the enjoyment of masturbation by taking off some of the nerves.
By cutting off 10,000 nerves in that final.
That was it. Good. If that's your goal. If your goal in life is to take away some of the joy of masturbation, Kellogg and Graham seem to be fine at it.
Ruined some of my enjoyment. Sorry.
Personal. When you were younger, you would crack your head and it wouldn't slow you down at all. Not at all. Wouldn't slow you down at all. But now we're older, we're wiser, and crackers in bed can slow us down. I'm sitting here talking to Michael Goudeau, who's here.
Expert on crackers in bed.
just about every morning. My name is Pendulum. We're going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be talking about more of the aristocrats, more of all the great stuff that's going on. And maybe, in case, you know, this has bothered you, we might be done talking about circumcision. But I've been known to lie. I'm Penn Fraser Gillette in Las Vegas on Free FM.